Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today I'll be joining you on your journey with Paul, before a hostile crowd testifying of Jesus on our journey through the Word. One of the most amazing conversation pieces I've ever learned is to ask people, "So what's your story?" Ask someone that question, and they'll blink before looking at you in disbelief. But when they're convinced that you meant it, they will pour out their hearts to tell you who they are and how their journey itself has made them who they are. We've all got a story to tell. We call it our testimony. And in Acts chapter 22, Paul tells his. Interestingly, Luke wrote out Paul's testimony 3 full times in the book of Acts. And this is the second time we encounter it in full after Acts chapter 9. But it won't be our last time. Now, does that seem strange to you that it's told 3 times straight? Either Luke's wrist didn't get tired when he wrote, or the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something. Something very important. Your testimony is a powerful tool. People can reject your arguments, but they can't deny your story. It's yours, and it's personal. It's the gospel according to you. Well, let's listen to the gospel, or the good news, according to Paul in verse 1. We find Paul ready to give his defense before a hostile mob. Verse 1, "Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense." When they heard him speak in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As the high priest and all the council themselves can testify, I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished." Paul, like Porn Pop, was a bad dude. Imagine you're in the audience, one of those who is heated and passionate, angry at anything that's a threat to Judaism. You're hearing Paul's story, and so far, he's the good guy. Persecuting Christians? Yeah. Arresting them? Woohoo! Killing them? Right on. But a testimony doesn't testify until Jesus walks into the story. Entrance, stage left, in verse 6. "About noon as I came to Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting,' he replied. 'My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me.' 'What shall I do, Lord?' I asked. 'Get up,' the Lord said, 'and go into Damascus. There you'll be told all you've been assigned to do.' My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me." Now imagine you're in that crowd listening to Paul give this testimony. And up until this point, you actually like Paul. I mean, he's got street cred. He hates people that pervert the true faith, Judaism. But now, he's just told you Jesus is the true faith. But although that's weird, you're used to people pinning the tail on the wrong Messiah. Paul's just mistaken. So you listen on and you hear him out as he continues his story. Verse 12. "A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and see the righteous one, and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you've seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name.' When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking to me. 'Quick,' he said, 'leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me.' 'Lord,' I replied, 'these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. So far, everything Paul has said keeps the crowd listening. But that last sentence, that word that grates on them, the word they can't stand, the word that causes so much animosity, Gentiles, it gets them stirred up. It was all okay until he said that last line of verse 21. Then the Lord said to me, Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. There is no mistaking, it's racism. The word Gentile, a trigger to these Jews. And as soon as Paul brings Gentiles back into the story, pandemonium erupts in verse 22. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, Rid the earth of him! He's not fit to live! As they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks, flinging dust into the air, the commander ordered that Paul be taken back into the barracks. He directed that he be flogged and interrogated in order to find out why the people were shouting at him like this. The commander can't make sense of why the Jews hate Paul so much. So he thinks, There's something this guy must not be telling me. I can beat it out of him. So he turns to the ultimate tool tortures used to make prisoners confess, flogging. Verse 25, as they stretched him out to flog him, Paul said to the centurion standing there, Is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty? When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported it. What are you going to do? He asked. This man is a Roman citizen. The commander went to Paul and asked, Tell me, are you a Roman citizen? Yes, I am, he answered. Then the commander said, I had to pay a lot of money for my citizenship. But I was born a citizen, Paul replied. Those who were about to interrogate him withdrew immediately. The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. Well, being a Roman citizen was almost like having a get-out-of-jail-free card monopoly. But Paul keeps that close to his chest, pulling it out only when he needs to. Being flogged was no joke, and Paul had received this at least 3 times according to the letter to the Corinthians. In fact, Josephus's physical description of Paul says he was bow-legged. That condition would have resulted from having the floggings 3 times, 39 lashes, 40 minus 1, the number of mercy, 13 up the left side, 13 on the right side, and 13 between the legs, ripping the tendons and causing Paul to be marked and deformed for the rest of his life, walking with a bow-legged gait. It wasn't that Paul was afraid of yet another flogging. The man who wrote to the Galatians, Let no one trouble me any further, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus Christ. He'd be able to tough it out. So why did Paul play his Roman citizen card? Because now Paul had leverage. In verse 30, they let him go. But the commander wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews. So Paul gets yet another chance to testify of Jesus, one more time, but this time under a controlled environment. And now he's guaranteed to be protected by the governor. This time, he can say anything he wants. And in the next chapter, that's exactly what he does. But just like Luke ran out of space to tell this epic story, we've run out of time. And we'll have to continue our time on trial with Paul next time on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.